I suppose that the authorship of this great hymn is uncertain because all real believers write such words in moments of their troubles. This is the story of Farther Along in today's episode of Heritage Hymns.
Welcome to the Heritage Hymns broadcast with our speaker, Daniel Cox. Join us as we travel back in time to learn of the great songwriters and the stories that they told us through music. Stay tuned at the end of this broadcast for more information. But for now, here's Pastor Cox.
No one can prove with certainty who wrote this great hymn, but there have been three possible scenarios that might have sponsored the song. In the first, W.B. Stevens, a minister in Queen City, Missouri, wrote at least the first verse upon the occasion of his son's death. As a pastor, Stephen had counseled many along the way regarding the death of a loved one, but was not willing or able to heed his own preaching, the death of his son. In the second version, the editor of the first songbook in which Farther Along appeared in 1911, Barney Warren, had written some of the verses. And finally, yet a third theory has been espoused, wherein another minister, W.A. Fletcher, had penned the words during a train trip to minister to Indian country while his absent wife was preparing to give birth to their firstborn son. Knowing he would not be there for the birth of his child, knowing the struggles of the ministry, he possibly looks around and says to himself, "Why do others prosper when I'm suffering serving Jesus?" Was it the death of Stephen's son, the birth of Fletcher's child, or another heart-rending story to blame for the authorship of this hymn? We simply do not know. Some have espoused that the song is dark and unscriptural. Here we have a man troubled by the prosperity of those around him, while he suffers loss and grieves the multitudinous troubles of his own life. Yet still, the song addresses the questions we all, as believers, face. Why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? And why does it seem that the good die earlier than the bad? When we strap on our gospel swords and head for the church house to receive our marching orders from the man of God through the word of God, weary, worn, and tired, we pass those along the way with their large boats headed to the ocean for a day of relaxation. The golf courses teem with the pleasure worshipers of our day. We do sometimes calculate what amenities our lives would enjoy if our 10% tithe and other free will offerings were placed back into our savings accounts. We should not, but we do sometimes, look at our Lord as a haven from trouble rather than our shelter in the times of storm. Yet we are short-sighted to think about the pleasures wicked men enjoy in this life only, while thinking little of the Christless eternity that lies before them. Like Asaph, the psalmist of old, when our calloused and carnal spirits rage with these thoughts and a thousand more, the Holy Spirit calms our troubled hearts like only He can do. Entering into His sanctuary, we are persuaded of better things to come for those who are in Christ Jesus. Asaph said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, 'How doth God know? And there is knowledge in the Most High.' Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, 'I will speak thus,' behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end." Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. What a difference Jesus Christ has made in our lives and eternal destinies. Regardless if poverty or plenty come our way, when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes down from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in bright mansions. We'll understand it all by and by. No, eternity will not allow your troubled heart a moment of clarification with the awesome person of God Almighty. Praise God, our troubles will not matter anymore. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows from our hearts will erase, and inevitably he'll dry all tears from our eyes. So cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. What a Savior. What a song, and oh, what a heritage of hymns.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day.
We'll understand it
If you enjoyed the broadcast and would like to access more information regarding the music ministry, please visit heritagehymns.info or pastordanielcox.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.